It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
No breaks.
No breaks.
No fear.
No fear.
The official British Speedway podcast.
Coming up in this week's episode, reaction from the Bank Holiday Monday meetings, and it was a big defeat for the Birmingham Brummies. And manager Sam Ermolenko says maybe he's getting ready to hit the panic button.
Some of the European riders just ain't got the right kit for these kind of tracks. And I just had a word with Mark Lemon, and he says, Sam, I've been there and done that. You know, it takes time for these guys to get it ironed in. And I'm thinking, well, I'm panicking now.
Better times for the Bellevue Aces, though, who bounced back after that defeat against the Brummies last week and now keeping pace with the front runners.
To respond in the way they did, in the fashion they did, pretty proud of them. But yeah, nonetheless, the scoreline probably didn't reflect the quality of racing that we saw today.
If there's one Jason worth talking to, it's Jason Edwards. And he's got a busy week ahead with the Sheffield Tigers racing against the Ipswich Witches on TV next Monday and the Bellevue Aces before that. And then he's also got commitments with Redcar. And last weekend, he scored his first ever paid maximum in the championship.
I mean, they did awfully well to get that meeting on because, I mean, it drizzled and rained and got worse, but I mean, you didn't put a terrible day. Everyone else must have got through loads, so it's a lot nicer to be that way around than the other way.
More reaction from the Cab Direct Championship as the Poole Pirates kick off their campaign with a close one at Berwick. We'll hear from Gary Havelock and Tom Brennan, and reaction from Plymouth as they, at least temporarily, go top of their BSN Series group. All on the way on No Breaks, No Fear.
No Breaks, No Fear. The official British Speedway podcast.
Welcome along. The rain playing its part on and off this week, but still plenty of action to review and a long chat with Jason Edwards on the way in the second part of this podcast. But we'll start off at the National Speedway Stadium on Bank Holiday Monday, a traditional lunchtime start for the Bellevue Aces, and Jamin Lidsey scoring a paid maximum as the Aces exacted rapid revenge over Birmingham with a 57-33 win at the National Speedway Stadium. The Aces took match and aggregate points to move up to second in the Road Motor Oil Premiership, with Lidsey's unbeaten show of 13+2, nearly matched by Dan Bewley, who scored 13+1, whilst Brady Kurtz collected 10. Ben Cook, meanwhile, provided much of the entertainment for the Big Bank Holiday crowd in Manchester, with a series of overtaking moves on his way to 9+1. Let's hear it from the two team managers now. Then, in a moment, we'll hear from Sam Ermolenko, and certainly some concerns for the Birmingham management at this stage of the season now. But first, the victorious Mark Lemon.
Well, Mark, I think that's about as convincing as it comes today's win over Birmingham.
Yeah, really happy with the performance by the boys. You know, they come away from Birmingham with sort of their head between their tails a little bit, thinking that there's one that got away, knowing how sort of crucial the way points will come or be to come during the course of the 24 season with the, you know, the strength of the league. So to respond in the way they did, in the fashion they did, pretty proud of them. But yeah, nonetheless, the scoreline probably didn't reflect the quality of racing that we saw today.
You talk about the quality of racing. One Bellevue ace who certainly had to earn his points was Ben Cook, certainly entertainer of the afternoon, I think it's fair to say.
Oh, no doubt about that. He, you know, make it easy if you can make a start, but like you said, quite entertaining for the crowd, seeing him making those heroic, you know, rides from the back. And Jamin Leasy, even like, you know, Cutland, both of them had a pretty brave ride out there, sort of like had to breathe in as they went past some Brummies. But no, solid effort, good performance. Yeah, pretty happy.
In the league so far, obviously the home form's been itself. How would you assess it overall when you weigh up the away form so far as well?
Yeah, I mean, we come away from Birmingham and we addressed it. We learnt quite a bit, to be quite honest, from a loss. So I think that was addressed, and you could see the performance, how they responded today. But there's work to be done. There's no doubt about that. You know, we're not the finished product at the moment, and you don't have to be at this time of the season. It's all about, you know, progressing, clicking the points over, and coming to the playoffs. That's when you got to sort of step it up.
And it is an away fixture next up as well. Attention's turned to the knockout cup. The aggregate lead that you've got. Convinced enough with that?
Yeah. In any two-legged tie, when you take an aggregate lead, you've got to be happy with. So 8 points, we know Sheffield are going to be tough. You know, they're league champions, and they're not going to, you know, they'll knock out cup finalists last year. And so we want to be in that cup. We haven't won it since 2017, and we addressed that with the boys at the start of the season. That's something, one of our targets. And, you know, to get that target, to even give yourself a chance, you've got to get into the semi-final. So, yeah, we've got a hurdle to overcome on Thursday. I'm confident that the team, we have the team that can do that. We expect a, you know, tough match against the Tigers. Just when you look at that quality lineup they have, so it's game on.
Yeah, there's Mark Lemon then, and things going okay for the Bellevue Aces at this moment in time. Big match coming up, as he mentioned, later in the week against the Sheffield Tigers. We'll hear from Sheffield Tiger Jason Edwards in a little bit. First of all, let's hear from the Birmingham team manager, Sam Ermolenko. And is it panic stations now for sudden Sam? Well, he's been chatting to Ryan Guest as well.
Well, Sam, Bellevue are obviously strong on home shale, but to lose by 24 points, how disappointed are you this afternoon?
Extremely disappointed. For the Riders as well. I mean, we're plagued with the fact that some of the European riders just ain't got the right kit for these kind of tracks. And I just had a word with Mark Lemon, and he says, Sam, I've been there and done that. You know, it takes time for these guys to get it ironed in. And I'm thinking, well, I'm panicking now.
Yeah, I was going to say, because mechanically, even to someone like me who doesn't know a fat lot about the bike, something just doesn't seem right at the minute.
Well, Pavlicki's just really struggling with this. Everything he's doing is not working. And all I can say to him is, look, you got to start from the beginning now. You got to get your different engines set up for these for England's tracks compared to European tracks. Milik, I just don't understand. I just went up to him and said, look, you know, you're good for 10 points in the position where you're at. You know, what am I going to do to change this? We need to figure a solution. You kind of thought that this was the track that was going to help you be good, and it's just gone backwards for him.
Yeah, like you say, he scored five points from his first two rides, and then still finished on five after six. Obviously, when they perform how they do on the continent, you know the talent's there. Can you understand the supporters' frustration seeing them qualify for the SEC challenge and then coming over here and scoring the points that they are?
100%. I thought that positiveness was going to come here and give us what we needed today, and it just didn't work. You know, we only got 1 point from Zach's rides, and that's really hard to swallow, so we missed him. Not that that would have made much difference, but it could have made a bit of a difference. It's worked in the past. But, we knew that with Milik being at reserve, you know, if he's having a bad day, we're going to have a real bad day. And that's exactly what the formula has been now.
Yeah. If we're looking at a few of the positives, Leon came on strong. I know he missed the 2 minutes in heat 15, which was another part of the disappointment, of course, and frustration. But he's showing a few signs in the last few meetings.
No, he's a trier. And I think we found the right kind of level of, I don't know, how can I put it? We know how to fire him up now. And, you know, we pulled him out of his second ride and he didn't understand it, you know. But we said, oh, wait a minute, it's going to help you in the long run. And he goes, oh. So it kind of fired him up. And if that's what it takes now to get him going, it's still a long road. We're getting to the point where we're running out of time now. You know, we should really as a team be thinking about elsewhere maybe soon now, maybe thinking about these riders. We got to see if we can find some other choices, because I'm kind of running out of what to tell them and what to do next. And it's frustrating. I'm not happy, and I'm sure that our boss isn't happy, and I'm equally sure that the fans would be disappointed, you know. Now I think we got something going on at home at the home track. We just got to see if we can focus on keeping ourselves on top there.
Yeah, obviously Nigel Tolley, the CEO, was missing today because of illness, but do you think now it's time, it's a conversation you perhaps need to have with him?
We preempted this already. We kind of knew that this was kind of the last attempt of seeing if these guys can actually show us, because this track is a lot more like the continent tracks. And we're just hoping that we would have had a recipe tonight to be able to go out and be very competitive. And it just went apart for us. The Bellevue team obviously has it dialed in around here, and we didn't have anything to answer.
Yeah, just a quick look at next Monday, as you've touched upon it, obviously. After that win against Bellevue last week, you want to get something going in front of the home supporters now. I know you don't like to put too much pressure on the team, but obviously against Kings Lynn, with where they are in the standings, just how big a meeting is that?
It's a real big meeting. It's a big meeting in all kinds of ways. It's one that we got to build back now. We've had two losses away, We need to come back and refresh ourselves that we can actually win. We left as a winning team when we were last at the Brumbies track. We got to go back there and see if we can just secure them.
Okay, plenty of food for thought then for Sam Ermolenko there. Is it time for changes at Birmingham? Certainly seems to be on the agenda. You fancy listening to that. Let's move on now to another of the Bank Holiday Monday clashes. And this was an afternoon affair at Foxhall and a local derby between the Ipswich Witches and the Kingsland Stars. But it was Ipswich who maintained top spot in the Roe Motor Oil Premiership with a weather-affected 37-23 win over Kingsland. Only 10 races possible as heavy rain moved in at Foxhall during the afternoon and the meeting abandoned after an attempt to improve conditions was met with a further downpour. Emil Saifutinov and Adam Ellis both scored 7+1 from three rides for the Witches, with guests Scott Nichols adding 6+2, whilst Niels Christian Iversen won two races for the Stars to finish with 7 points. Well, we'll hear from Dan Thompson and Niels Christian Iversen shortly. First of all, let's hear from the team management, starting with the victorious Witches. And Richie Hawkins has been speaking with Mike Boswell.
So, Richie, Witches came out on top, but perhaps not the way you wanted it this afternoon, with the Witches obviously coming and finishing at heat 10.
Yeah, I mean, happy with the result and the performance for 10 heats. But yeah, the rain sort of spoiled the day. We had a good crowd, and just apologise to them, really. I mean, it's out of his hands or whatever. And yeah, we tried our best to then get the track back, but the rain's got even heavier. And yeah, a massive disappointment for everyone that's come out, and looking forward to their Bank Holiday Monday and to be able to not to be able to provide like a full day's work racing.
And as for the team, you made some changes around, you know, you're swapping Dan Thompson in and out of position. Danny's off at the moment with that injury. How did you think the team reorder worked for you?
Yeah, I mean, I think this is the order we'll go for at the moment. We swapped it Monday when we went to Leicester purely because we had RR and easier to work the RR rides and stuff. So we had to swap it around for that. But, you know, I've in years past, I've changed the team lineup, sort of meeting on meeting and stuff, and it's something the boys know they have to be used to when if they come into ride here and buy into, and everyone's happy with that. And you know, we'll experiment on things so that when we get to the playoffs, we kind of should then be set what we're comfortable doing.
Excellent. And you know, obviously it's still another win on the board as such, but still some tough meetings to come up in the next 7 days.
Yeah, I got a tough meeting next Monday at Sheffield. It's going to be a real tough one. But yeah, coming up on the month, we've got away trips to Birmingham and Kings Lynn in the league that, you know, we're places we want to look at going to win at. And then the cup as well starts again, rerunning of the cup quarterfinal, which you're in a good position with. And then, yeah, cup semi then at the start of next month, I guess, hopefully.
As Richie Hawkins then, as his team, the Ipswich Witches, continue marching on at the top of the Roe Motor Oil Premiership. Meanwhile, at the bottom, it's the Kingsland Stars, and Kingsland manager Rob Lyon reflects on another tough afternoon.
Yeah, it always was going to be without our talisman number one, who's pretty good around Ipswich. We always knew it would be a tough meeting, but we were sort of hanging in there a little bit, but it was obvious what the result was going to be, and yeah, one of them.
And sort of, you know, track conditions got worse. Right call from your point of view?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I spoke to the referee after heat 7 and said, look, this is looking, the boys don't look particularly safe out there. And his decision was to continue. And then riders got involved at 8 and 9. And obviously then track work was taking place in agreement with everyone. But the weather just ruined it again. And yeah. You can't race when it's in these conditions, so right decision.
And sort of obviously now a bit of a regroup. What's the plan going forward to cover for Tobias?
In the short term, we've got to use guests because we don't know how long he's going to be out until he's had his surgery today. So hopefully after today, if it's successful, we'll know what we're into. But in the short term, it'll be guests.
So a setback at number one for the Kingsland Stars. One of the bright sparks of that performance, though, at Ipswich was the performance of Niels Christian Iversen. Got himself two race wins, got 7 points. It was a rain-shortened meeting, so he didn't have his full programme of rides. And he, too, has been talking to Mike Boswell.
Niels, looked to be a tough night, well, tough afternoon for Kingsland as a team this afternoon.
Yeah, it was. I mean, we missed our number one, Toby, which broke his collarbone in our last home meeting on Thursday. So, So yeah, difficult, difficult conditions. But yeah, what can we say? We came in, tried our best. Started to rain a bit, made condition more difficult. But again, same for everyone. But I think without number one, Ipswich just proved to be too strong for us.
And looking, obviously, you rode here, you had the track record last time round. You got the quickest time this afternoon. And sort of, you know, so is it a track you enjoy?
I won't say I enjoy it. I mean, it's a tricky track, especially when you come here only on occasions. When I came here and rode for the club in 2019, I quite enjoyed it. But I would say as an away rider, it's a little bit more tricky. But it's... I had good meetings here, I had bad meetings in the past, and it's obviously more fun when you when you're winning the races, and managed to get on the roll today, win two heats before he was called off, and yeah, it was right.
Nils Christian Iversen then reflecting on his performance for the Kingsland Stars, who remain at the foot of the Road Motor All Premiership. One rider though who very much is in form at the moment, wherever he's riding, is Dan Thompson of the Ipswich Witches, who's now fought his way into the main body of the team from Rising Star. And he's finding life all right at number two.
Obviously, he started well this afternoon, then it got pretty damp out there.
Yeah, that made it difficult for vision and also for control of the bike. So, the right decision was made in the end. Just luckily, I had a good start to the meet, and so didn't affect me too much.
And sort of looking at the scoreline, you're obviously in the number two position. You were riding number four at Leicester. How are you finding being in the main body of the team?
Yeah, it is hard. My aim is to just pick up a couple points a meet, and I can't have the expectation I had at Rising Star to go and score big every meeting. So now I'll just try and take the scalps of some experienced riders and learn as much as I can.
I'm pretty busy at the moment. You've had a busy kind of few days, and how have you found it for kind of your riding and being up and down the country, as it were?
Yeah, I love being as busy as I can, really. I've got two or three more guest bookings coming up this week, so just try and keep myself flat out and having fun and earning money.
So that completes the fixtures from Bank Holiday Monday. The other fixture was due to be the Oxford Spires versus the Leicester Lions, but the rain put paid to that, frustratingly. Some light rain through the course of the afternoon in Oxford, which was supposed to clear at about 5 o'clock, but in fact, quite the opposite. It got a lot heavier, and the track was then unrideable by about 6 o'clock. So that one was called off. Even more frustrating when you left the stadium and drove just up the road, 5 miles up the road, and the sun was beaming down. So just one of those, really. The rain was over the top of the stadium, and that was that. So that will have to take place at another time. Looking back to the action from the previous week, and on Thursday, well, there was some action to talk about at Ollerton as champion Sheffield raced to a 49-41 win over Oxford in the Row Motor All Premiership. Despite a stunning Spires debut from new signing Craig Cook, the former British champion racking up 16 points from six rides at reserve, including a Heat 15 victory over Jack Holder and Ty Woffenden. But a 3-3 from that race was enough for the Tigers to secure the aggregate point as the home duo got the better of Rowan Tungate. Woffenden leading the way for the hosts with 12+1, whilst both Jack Holder with 11+2 and Chris on 10 were in double figures, Tungate picking up 10 for the visitors. In a moment, we'll hear from Craig Cook, but first of all, from Jack Holder, who continued a great week for him in Speedway, racking up double figures for the Tigers.
Well, Jack, first and foremost, three league points in the bag tonight. Had to deny them in that Heat 15 for the aggregate point, but nevertheless, it's been a good, solid performance.
Yeah, mate, it was. It's only our second one at home, but Oxford are a good team, so they pushed us all the way and took it to Heat 15 to get all the points, but. Very happy, and we'll move on to the next one.
Like you say, to say that is only the second meeting with obviously the amount Oxford have had as well. Is there still a lot more to come from the Sheffield side, do you think?
Yeah, for sure, mate. As I said, man, it's only our second time. It feels like we haven't really started at home. You know, we've had one in the wet, and then, you know, today was, you know, the sun was out, which was good. But, once now a few boys are out there now practicing, and once we get it, everyone gets dialed in, I think we'll be pretty dangerous.
Next up for the Sheffield Tigers next Thursday, it's in the Knockout Cup against Bellevue, and a deficit to turn around in that one.
Yeah, for sure. Another one we all look forward to, you know, the local sort of derby. And yeah, you know, that's just look forward to that one and yeah, see what we can do.
Yeah, and just finally, obviously, at the time, straight after on the podium, you said you didn't quite know what to think. It hadn't sunk in. You've had a few days for it to sink in now. Just how much did Saturday night mean to you to get your first Grand Prix victory?
Yeah, it's massive, mate. You know, I'm still a little bit speechless. You know, it's I got to pinch myself, but yeah, that's in the past now. You know, obviously I'm really stoked to be, you know, win it, and long way to go yet. But yeah, definitely is a good feeling. But as I said, mate, long way to go. First one's out of the way, so 10 to go.
Certainly is. Congratulations, Jack, and well done to you and the Tigers.
Thank you very much.
Well, the Oxford Spires have run Sheffield very close on both occasions that the two sides have met, both at Cowley and at Ollerton as well. The star man, though, in South Yorkshire was a former Sheffield rider who perhaps almost came back to haunt the Tigers a little bit. Craig Cook bagging himself 16 points from six rides on his Spires debut in the Rome Motor All Premiership. He's been chatting to Ryan Guest as well.
Craig, first and foremost, let's just look at yourself individually, because it's your debut for Oxford, back in the Premiership. 16 points and five rides out to six. You've got to be elated this evening.
Yeah, I shouldn't like trespass, should I? I just got 18. You know, if somebody told me I'd have got 16 points before the match, I'd have told them to get on the bike. So, yeah, I'll take that any day. Yeah, it feels like it's a long time since I won a E15. You know, especially up against a world champion and a future world champion. So, I'm over the moon, ecstatic, overwhelmed as well, you know, with my performance. And, it just feels like the last few years hasn't gone to plan. And so a road like I did tonight is a relief, weight off shoulders. I'm a bit lost for words, to be honest.
Yeah, I was going to say, because everyone knows you've had some well-documented problems in the past, different things, but like you say, tonight, to come here, put in a performance like that against that opposition, it might only be one meeting, but nevertheless, how much confidence can you take that going forward?
You know, I'll keep it on the down low. You know, I'll still watch the meeting back. I'll watch what I've done wrong, and I'll pick up on it, and, you know, I'll be putting things into the future meetings, testing it and trying to move forward again. You know, obviously I want to improve, but you know, there's still a lot of work to be done, and you know, I'm going to keep myself grounded. Like you said, it's only one meeting, it's only my sixth meeting of the season, so just keep focused and keep doing what I'm doing, and hopefully Oxford will sign me for the rest of the season.
Great to see Craig Cook back on form and delivering the performances that he's capable of as well. And he's hoping for a longer stint with the Oxford Spires. Well, as I say earlier, Oxford were due to be racing against Leicester this week, but that was put paid to by the weather. There is a change in the team, though, at Leicester, with manager Stuart Dixon making a switch in riders in the Rising Star position. The signing of Sam Hagan replacing Joe Thompson is a move made with both the present and the future in mind, says Stuart Dixon. Well, I caught up with Sam Hagan as the rain fell at Oxford to have a chat with him about making that decision, and he's pleased to get his chance at the top table.
Yeah, definitely. It was a good sort of chat we had, and I'm glad to sort of do it with Leicester, and I'm glad I even got the call. I thought I deserved the spot, but obviously you've got also, it's only seven teams, I believe, so it's quite hard, seven riders actually pick, so I'm glad I got the call.
You have had an impressive start to the season riding with Poole. You've done quite a bit of guesting as well, and obviously you raced against Stuart Dixon's other team, the Berwick Bandits, the other week, didn't you, when you were racing for Glasgow, and certainly you've caught his attention there, and he made a note and made that call.
Yeah, definitely. Obviously, I worked with Stuart last year at Birmingham, so it was we've been talking sort of over a year, well, less than a year now. Obviously, because he asked about Leicester nationally, and we was talking back and forth with that as well. So, yeah, we've been talking for a bit, and sort of got the call on Friday, and then it happened so quickly. I think it was a good call for me, because I'm doing all three leagues now, so I'm gonna be very busy. And I'm glad to do it.
So there's Sam Hagan stepping up into the Premiership. He's had one or two guest appearances in the past, but now fully signing for the Leicester Lions as their rising star. So then, to round up this Premiership section, let's have a look at the league tables. I know not every fixture has been in the league, but the Road Motor All Premiership looks like this. Headed by the Ipswich Witches at the top of the table, ridden 7 meetings and 13 points on the board. Second place, the Bellevue Aces, 7 meetings ridden and 11 points. And then in third, the Sheffield Tigers. Now, they've got 9 points, but they've ridden 5 meetings. So cashing in those meetings in hand and potentially bonus points as well, that could see them certainly be jostling with Ipswich for that top spot. Fourth place, the Leicester Lions, ridden 7 meetings and 9 points. Oxford Spires have ridden 7 and are on 9. And then in sixth place, it's the Birmingham Brummies. They've ridden 9 meetings, more than anybody else, and 3 points on the board. Kingsland Stars ridden 6, and they have 2 points at the moment and remain 7th in the Row Motor Oil Premiership. So that is how things look in the league table as far as fixtures are concerned. We're looking at Thursday this week, and we've just got the one fixture to tell you about on Thursday, and that is the fixture at Ollerton. Sheffield Tigers versus the Bellevue Aces in the Premiership Knockout Cup quarter-final second leg, with Sheffield some points to make up. It's 49-41 in favour of Bellevue at the halfway stage. And then on Monday in the Road Motor Oil Premiership, we've got 3 meetings taking place. Bellevue Aces versus the Oxford Spires at the National Speedway Stadium. We've got the Birmingham Brummies against the Kingsland Stars, and the Sheffield Tigers versus the Ipswich Witches. And that match will be the feature live on Eurosport and Discovery Plus on Monday evening. Starts at 7:30, tapes up for that one. And we'll hear more about that from one of the riders that will be involved. Jason Edwards got himself a paid max for the first time in the Cab Direct Championship and is looking to add more points to his tally for the Sheffield Tigers as well. And Jason Edwards joins us in the next part of No Breaks, No Fear.
No Breaks, No Fear. The official British Speedway podcast.
This is No Breaks, No Fear, the official British Speedway podcast. Now, it's a busy week ahead for our main guest in this week's episode, but he's coming off a very good weekend, to say the least, where he scored his first paid maximum in the Cab Direct Championship, and looking forward to some key meetings, both in the Road Motor Oil Premiership and in Championship as well. Jason Edwards joins us. Well, first of all, Jason, well done on the max. I mean, it was gritty conditions at Workington, wasn't it? But You got the bumps, and you, we could spot that you got the max because you were the guy with the least amount of cleaning up to do.
No, it was a bit more of a relief than anything. It was funny because, I mean, they did awfully well to get that meeting on because, I mean, it drizzled and rained and got worse. But I really didn't pull a tear off all day. Everyone else must have got through loads. So it's a lot nicer to be that way around than the other way. But no, it just sets me up, hopefully, to kick on this year and carry on, because we've all had a bit of an up and down, I think every rider in the league. So it's just nice to kind of put that on the board. Like I say, for me, being my first one in the championships, massive. So no, onwards and upwards.
And as well at Workington, a track that actually a few weeks prior to that you didn't have the best day, so it was quite a turnaround to go from, you know, a few points to 14 plus one. It was you must have been pleased from that point of view as well for it to totally turn round.
Yeah, I must have had one of the worst meetings, well, worst meeting all year. It's funny because Danny sent me a nice message after. Obviously, Danny's just getting his hand all fixed up and everything, but he just sent me a message kind of, you left the track 2 weeks ago, annoyed, upset, everything. But we studied a couple of races together, and I mean, oh, I'm just sick of watching Workington now. The amount of videos I've watched, replays, you press start, then you rewind it, go again. Yeah, I definitely know the track well enough now. But again, that's what's nice. It's nice to go somewhere and kind of almost get a bit of redemption. But we've still got the league to go there. So hopefully I can back it up and do a similar thing then. But yeah, when you come away from a meet and you don't do very well, you definitely definitely go into it.
Yeah, let's talk about the fixtures coming up this next week then, because for you, obviously, with Sheffield, back with Sheffield, the reigning champions, as you say, it's been of a stop-start season, and certainly home meetings have been hard to come by for Sheffield, but they now seem to be lining up. The weather seems to be, touch wood anyway, looking like we're getting a bit of a break in things. I mean, I've had a rain-off already this week. I'm not the only one. At Oxford, where 5 miles up the road, it was sunny, but it was one of those frustrating evenings where the rain came down on the track, and that was the end of that. But better times ahead, and it's a big one on Thursday. It's the classic Roses battle, one of the classic fixtures in British Speedway, really. Sheffield against Bellevue, and certainly nobody needs to particularly try extra hard to get fired up for that one.
Yeah, and again, for us at Sheffield, it'll be just nice to have another home meeting. It's been a funny start to the year, because we seem to have done every meeting's been an away meeting. Obviously, we've had two now, which is nice, but I know this month, next month, we've kind of got a run of consistent Sheffield meetings every Thursday, so that would be nice, especially for me, just to try and get the hang of things again around Sheffield. But again, like I say, I haven't really done many of the Sheffield Bellevue meetings. I've done one so far, so I know the Ben Tube Army will definitely be in full force. but like I say, it's brilliant. All rivalries like that are brilliant. Like, I did a few of the Edinburgh v Glasgow meetings. Even when I was younger, we did the Eastbourne v Kents. That's what it's all about, is the local derbies and everything. And you do not get the best out of everyone. Same as Redcar. We've got Redcar v Scunny. It's always a brilliant meeting, and the crowd always turns up, and there's always that bit of extra motivation every week.
Yeah, so it is a big one. And Sheffield, really, as far as the season's going now, probably have a bit of an advantage, a psychological one over Bellevue, maybe, having a couple of meetings in hand and being at the top end of the table as well. It's yet to really even out in the Road Motor Oil Premiership, I think. But if Sheffield win these upcoming fixtures over the next couple of weeks, it could certainly be a very different looking league table.
Yeah, and like I say, going back to the home fit, we haven't had many home fixtures. So obviously, I know it sounds silly, but they're points you hope you can bank on the table. Do you know what I mean? So when you've only had away ones so far, it does not make your life a lot harder. But no, like I say, Ty seemed to, I think he nearly maxed out at Bellevue and he kind of kept us going. But then that's where it's up to me and Dan now to score a few points of reserve to take a bit of pressure off everyone. But no, like I say, we just want to ride our bikes every week, try and get a little bit of money for doing so. And it helps everyone, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, absolutely. And then you're on the TV on Monday night as well, which is going to be the big fixture on Eurosport Discovery Plus. Monday evening, Sheffield versus Ipswich, which of course is a rerun of the grand final from last year, of course. And really, as I say, with Ipswich now at the top of the table at the time of recording this, they're there to be got at. And of course, Sheffield can rein them in, because there's been no stopping Ipswich so far.
Yeah, Ipswich everywhere they've gone, they've done really well. Obviously, they turned Leicester over at Leicester, and they must have beat Oxford as well, I think. So I think the big thing is it's like anything, all these top league meetings, they're hard. It doesn't matter who they are. And it's like Birmingham this year. Birmingham kind of come in as the underdogs, and suddenly their scores at the past couple of meetings, they've been giving everyone a real run for their money. So no, like I say, it's just, especially for me, it's just I'm trying to score as many points as I can. The top league's a hard old league, but at the same time, we've got the reserve race to bank on those points. And then we want to try and get in the mix all the time. And for me, I'm riding with Ty as well for two of my races. So as long as I can get a start, hopefully he'll look after me a little bit and I can get my head down.
And how is that? It must be a slightly surreal experience for you. You know, you're in this team, these riders you will have grown up with seeing on TV, I suppose, racing in the Grand Prix in the likes of Chris Holder and Ty Woffenden, two world champions, four world titles, of course, between them. That must be quite a bit of a pinch yourself moment for you personally as a bit of a Speedway fan to be lining up next to these guys at the tapes.
Yeah, like when I was little, I always grew up watching like Chris Holder, and that was when Chris Holder was kind of in his peak. He'd just won the world championship, everything else, so the Sheffield team for me is absolutely brilliant. Like, you couldn't ask for more people who have been there, done it all, to learn off of. And I just keep saying to people, if I don't learn anything this year, I might as well pack up. Do you know what I mean? Because you've got that many good riders in the team to learn off of. And you've just got to pick their brains. If you can pick their brains a little bit and learn something every meeting, 10, 20 meetings down the line, hopefully you're going to be a hell of a lot of better rider. But no, like I say, I haven't yet really got a start with Ty too much, so that's the plan, get my head down and try and get some 5-1s on the board.
And do you feel like you are learning, you know, from you personally? Do you feel, obviously, we're seeing great performance there for Redcar and you get your first maximum, but is that a result of having a great night for yourself, or is that a result of implementing some of the stuff that you've learned so far this season racing with these riders, or a mixture of the two?
It's funny because as much as chatting to them all, I think the biggest thing is watching them, like just seeing what they do on the bike, especially. And for me, it's been nice just riding your bigger tracks like your Sheffields, your Redcars. Obviously, being at Redcar, we're always in at Workington, or we're always at Scunthorpe and so on. But it's watching how they ride the bike, because they ride the bike completely different. And for me at the moment, it's not do this on the bike, do that on the bike. It's a riding thing and altering my style a little bit. And that's where it's been a big boost. Just watching Jack Older go out in heat one, then you watch Chris Older go out, then you watch Ty, and especially like your Bellevues and places, that they are world class. So that for me has been the biggest thing, watching what they do. And then even just having the confidence to just go over to them and go, what are you doing there then? What do you know what I mean? Because for me to start off with, that was a big thing, was, oh, do we talk to them? Do we let them do what they want? Do you know what I mean? And like I say, and now I've got a couple of meetings in, it is get your head down, but at the same time, if you ask them, they're going to give you an answer. Normally, it's a pretty sensible answer. But that, like I say, this all you can do is just pick what you can from them. And even at the Red Cup thing, I've been parked next to Charles. This is my third year parked next to him, so he's a bit chatty to me now. But again, you'll discuss things all the time. And that's what it's all about, trying to improve little things on the bike and how you ride.
And when you're talking about riding the bike differently, are you talking there like body positioning and balance and how they move around on the bike?
Yeah, that's it. Like I say, especially at Sheffield, I've really, like these past two meetings, when you watch Jack Older, like he's always on stupid gearing compared to everyone else, which doesn't even make sense type gearing. But when you actually watch and study him, you can see how it works, why he's doing it. And like I say, for me, it's been a massive thing doing that. And that's kind of for me as well, I need to back it up, but that's where I felt like I made a big stride at Workington, being a bigger track, just setting the bike slightly differently, riding it a bit differently. And I, like I say, you're never going to just instantly improve overnight, but it's improving a little bit every meeting. And that's sometimes what's hard about the top league, because you kind of get your 2-3 points, maybe you get 4, but you don't sometimes feel like you're making progress. So then you go back to a championship meeting sometimes and you put it together, and then you feel like you get the results a bit more. So that's the next step in my thing, just to start scoring some more points in the top league. And like I say, just enjoy riding my bike all the time.
Yeah, well, obviously you are seeing the results, though, as you say, with your performances for Redcar. And you're talking about local derby there in the Premiership with Sheffield and Bellevue. You've got another bit of a local derby with Redcar, home and away, with Berwick. Which is reasonably local, I guess, sort of technically just about the northeast. I think Berwick, right on the dividing line. So that's going to be a big one, isn't it? Home and away, you've got Tom Brennan to face up against, riding for Berwick, I believe, guesting on the Friday. And they've got Richard Lawson in back at Shieldfield on the Saturday night. But a big clash, and certainly they'll bring a good amount of supporters, but getting that championship season underway for Redcar.
It's funny, if you'd have gone back 3 years, I'd have never regarded Berwick as a half local meeting. And for me, that's what's been brilliant riding for Redcar is, like, for instance, my week coming up, it's Sheffield, Redcar, Berwick, and then back to Sheffield on the Monday. So I'm not going home from Thursday till Monday night, but they're all just only 2 hours apart everywhere. The maximum max drive is 2 hours. And as you know, going to all the meetings, that's absolutely brilliant. So like I say, it's nice in that sense. And it's kind of a home from a home, if that makes sense. Brian Turner puts me up all the time, and he's been absolutely brilliant to me. And when you've got something like that and you can save yourself all those miles, especially from someone like me who does pretty much all of it on my own driving wise, it does not make a difference. So that should be good. And I'm sure the Redcar fans, they'll have the big flag and everything, and yeah, they always enjoy a trip to Berwick.
Yeah, they do. They do. And they enjoy the banter there with the fans. And I think with Dick Barry on the centre green as well, he usually takes a few pelters from the red car crowd. But it'll be a good event for sure. And then for red car as well, you've got more action next week because you're off to Oxford, I think, aren't you, next Wednesday, which is going to be on BSN. So heading around the country. I won't be going to that one. I've done my stint of driving to Plymouth and Oxford in the past week. So that'll fall to someone else. I can't do it twice. But you'll be heading there. And again, you know, points to be got there. And maybe red car now, after a bit of a slow start, maybe feel like they seem to be putting it together a bit. And that win at Workington, where you scored your paid max there, seemed to be a bit perhaps of a turning point as well.
Yeah, I think the Workington meeting for everyone was kind of probably a big turning point. Because obviously, even Connor, I don't think he gets as much... I don't even know what you call it, but and obviously Connor's becoming quite a very consistent performer at championship level now. So the hard thing with the red car thing is we've only ever lost by sort of 2 or 3 points every meeting. It's never been like it's been a 60-30 thrashing, but it's kind of how everyone seems to be making out every week. But they've only ever, I think the maximum has been 10 points we've been beaten by. And like I say, that just shows it's only a couple of little things we need to alter. So we're all riding pretty well. But we just need to get it over the line type thing. So, no, it's like anything. You think you're getting somewhere, then you get put on the floor, and then you climb way back up again. So I think that's what we're doing. And then once we get Danny back and Danny's all healed up, I think we'll be quite a force to be reckoned with going into the next couple of meetings.
Yeah, losing Danny King obviously is unfortunate, but hopefully he'll be back sooner than later. I think he had surgery this week, didn't he, on his hand? But in the meantime, then it's a case of getting the best guests that you can in the team. Do you know who you got for this coming weekend yet? Have they not announced it?
Yeah, I wouldn't have a clue. I know Dan Thompson's coming in on Saturday as a replacement for Young because he's off to Poland on Saturday. But again, the way Dan Thompson's riding, he could be the number one at the moment. So and I know it from when I've guested for teams before. Sometimes it can be a good thing for team managers because you can almost, it's like Plymouth, was it last year or the year before when they had RR all year for number one? They can pick and choose what number one they want for what track. Stuart Dixon's not an idiot. That's why he picks Richard Lawson every week at Berwick. He knows he's going to, well, guaranteed 13 points or something.
Yeah, it's true. And that came back to haunt them, though, didn't it? When Berwick raced against Poole, though, and it was Richard Lawson there who came storming in with that 5-1 to undo them in the last heat, I think it was. So it can work both ways, sometimes giving people that extra experience around the track, I suppose. And for you personally, what have you got any particular aims of where you want to be this season? Anything you got your eye on, and you know, whether that's it, league racing or individual?
Oh, I just want to try and get as far as I possibly can. I'm obviously at an age now, I'm out of the under-21 bracket for doing all those meetings. Obviously, you've still got the under-23 stuff, but I just want to try and get, one, as many meetings as I can, and two, get as many points as I can. Just keep it nice and simple. And like I say, I've got till October 31st to make that happen. So, like I say, if anyone ever needs guest bookings, we're definitely up for getting some because, like I say, we've got 6 months of the year to try and, one, improve as much as we can, and two, to earn as much as we can out of it. So that's the plan really for me. And like I say, it's why we all race Speedway. Do you know what I mean? We love riding our bikes and we get a little bonus that we get paid for it. But at the same time, we need to score points.
Yeah, and have you found that, I don't know, as your average changes, I suppose, it depends on what guest bookings you're likely to be attractive for, but you have in the past been one of the most in-demand riders in the UK, one of the busiest, I think, Bomber consistently has been the busiest rider in the world, but you've never been far behind that. So have the guest bookings been a little bit slower so far, or maybe new averages coming out soon might change that?
Well, that's where the whole Scott Nichols, what he's doing this year is absolutely brilliant for him, because he's, I don't know what his top league average is, but say he's a 5-point average, because he's only ever guesting, his average never goes up and he gets to pick and choose what meetings he wants to do. So sometimes it can work absolutely brilliant. And like I say, it's same as like take Eric Riss at the moment. If he does it cleverly, I mean, he could guess, I know he's got his Polish commitments on weekends, but say his average is 8. I mean, he could guess for any number one in the league, and he's going well, he's riding like a number one at the moment, and just pick and choose what meetings he wants to do, when it works, what track he wants to do and everything. So that's where Speedway is funny, because you suddenly so in demand, and then you go 0.2 of an and the average slightly higher, and you don't fit in anywhere. So you sometimes have to play the system a little bit.
Yeah, well, I'm sure your time will come when somebody's in need of somebody, especially if you're putting performances in like you have been doing, because whatever your average is going to be a snip if you're putting away 15-point paid maximums.
Yeah, no, like I say, it always helps. But like I say, all I need to do now is just back it up all the time. And all I want to do is, I don't want to be one that goes win last type thing. You want to be nice and consistent, and that's sometimes the beauty of Speedway. It doesn't matter how big-headed and confident you can suddenly get, it soon puts you back on the ground when you don't respect it. And like anything, you need to get results all the time.
I don't think you could ever be accused of being a prima donna, Jason. You're always chatty and as say, well, you know, happiest Speedway rider that you'll find in the pits. And I'm sure that people find you a pleasure to work with as well. But all the best for the season. I think as well, you know, look ahead, but also look where you've been in the past, because like last year, you know, they made the change at King's Lynn, of course, and you found yourself on the sideline, I suppose, in the Rising Star situation. But look how that's turned out now, and you've got this opportunity with Sheffield, and surely the only way is up, you know. So it's actually benefited you in a way, as in the same way as of Dan Thompson as well, who's probably in a similar position after last year.
Yeah, obviously Dan got he was originally at Leicester, wasn't he? And got dropped from Leicester. And at the time, when you get dropped, it's the worst thing that can possibly happen. But then you only have to kind of take two steps back sometimes, give it a month or so, and it can be the best thing that possibly happened to you. That was the thing that happened to me at King's Lynn, was obviously I got dropped. I kind of had sort of 3 weeks not really knowing what was going on. Then you get a couple of guest appearances because they're off for doing their GB meetings and under 23, under 21 stuff. Next minute, someone gets hurt. Obviously, you don't want anyone to get hurt, but it opens the door for you, and then you have to take that opportunity when you can get it. And next minute, you're riding every day of the week, and then you're not riding once in 2 weeks. So you have to make the most of it while you can. And like I say, as long as we're riding our bikes and we're just getting some points in the, we're quite happy.
And overall, just, you know, sort of from the sidelines, I suppose, looking at the Premiership so far, obviously you've got a bit of a vested interest in Sheffield, but how do you think the league's settling down so far? And any particular surprises, or is it going in the way that you probably thought it was, with Sheffield and Ipswich up the top?
Well, just on the league itself, I think it's just brilliant to have the riders we got in it. Like, I mean, who would have thought the league, like the number, if you go across the number ones in the league, having your Magics back, Emil's back, Ties, Jack Alders, the lot. You can't beat that. You have got the, I know Sweden's obviously on the decline with that side of it, but we really need to support the riders while we've got them, because it's brilliant to have these good riders in the league. And from my point of view, it's even better because I get to watch all these riders ride British tracks and chat to them and learn off of them. So, you can't beat that as a whole. But no, like I say, Birmingham's the one that surprised me. Like I say, everyone I think had them kind of at the bottom of the league, and they're going out every meeting and giving everyone a close run. But I know when we were there earlier in the year, we had a super heat. Even on the telly meeting, they show they are a force to be reckoned with, and they only need to get a couple of wins on the table and they're shooting back up to the top.
Yeah, absolutely. Lots can change at this stage of the season. Well, look, thanks a lot, Jason, and have a great time on the track. I know you've got a busy period, starting off with that Roses clash, but then action on Monday in the Romos All Premiership, Sheffield versus Ipswich, and that one live on Eurosport and Discovery Plus. Have a good one, safe riding, and we'll see you on track soon.
That's what we want.
Jason Edwards on No Breaks, No Fear. Coming up in the final part, a bit of a championship roundup and a few interviews to bring you. We talked about Berwick, well, they were in action against the Pool Pirates. Some reaction from that, much more to come in the next part of No Breaks, No Fear.
No Breaks, No Fear, the official British Speedway podcast.
Okay, just to cover some of the action from the Cab Direct Championship and that general level of Speedway, because there's a few different tournaments on the go at the moment. Starting on Friday, the Pool Pirates had a Northern Tour, and it was a successful one at that, with the Pirates moving through to the Cab Direct KO Cup semi-finals. Surviving an early scare at Edinburgh on Friday, the Pirates saw 8 of their 9-point advantage from the first leg wiped out in the space of the first 4 races in Armadale. And you might think panic stations, but they fought back into the contest and levelled the scores on the night in Heat 10. The next 4 races were shared as the visitors confirmed progression before Josh Pickering and Justin Sedgman finished off with a 5-1 for the Monarchs, giving them a 47-43 win on the night. Pickering top scoring for Edinburgh, getting 13, and Justin Sedgman with 10+1. While for the Pirates, Tom Brennan and Ben Cook led the way for Poole. Let's hear from top scorer for the Pirates then, away at Armadale, Tom Brennan, speaking with Stephen Allen.
Really good performance tonight, especially.
No, thank you. I mean, it's definitely going well so far, so we need to keep that going for the rest of the week. And decent results, and it's even better to kind of get the win here today, and well, aggregate win. And you know, Edinburgh really strong at home, so they were definitely the better team on the night, but we kept it there.
You certainly showed true Heat leader qualities tonight, going out in there, a lot of confidence you had.
Yeah, exactly. I mean you have to, right? I mean a confidence, one of those things that you have to build upon time, and we're kind of hitting a nice spot right now, and it definitely feels good.
Were you any worries in the camp when we went? Got to within 1 point.
I must admit it was maybe after Heat 4, I think we kind of all looked around and gone, you know, we need to kind of do something. And luckily team here at Poole are very, very good. We all kind of got our heads down and everybody come together, and yeah, I mean, happy to walk away with here with being able to go to the next round.
And how's the new time wear going that you won on Monday?
Yeah, oh well, I actually haven't got it just yet. They had to take it back to go get another one. But no, happy with that. Birmingham's a fantastic club, and for me to be a part of that and also part of Poole means a lot.
Well, just less than 24 hours later, the Pirates were back in action once again, and they fought back from an early 10-point deficit, this time to kick off their Cab Direct Championship campaign with an away win at the Berwick Bandits. The Pirates took a terrific contest, 46-44, with the victory coming down to a battle for second place in Heat 15. Visiting number one, Richard Lawson, got the better of home skipper Rory Schlein. The result was achieved despite the Pirates going down to 6 riders, Zach Cook withdrawing with hip pain after a crash in his first ride. Lawson again excelling at Shieldfield Park with 14+1 from 6 rides. Don't forget as well, Richard Lawson has been guesting for Berwick over the previous few weeks, so certainly had his eye in. Poole reserve Sam Hagen notching a crucial 11+1. Tom Brennan again on the score sheet with 10. And Bandits guest Josh Pickering scoring 12+1. Let's hear from the Poole Pirates Northern team manager, as he is looking after the Northern fixtures, Gary Havelock, with Stephen Allen.
Tell us about tonight then, Javi. What was going on in those pits?
Well, I think the view from my destination was vastly different from the view from Danny. But hey ho, I was, I was always confident, you know, all the way through. Even after we got off to that bad start, you know, it's you can get off to starts like that, tracks like this, especially with a lot of young lads in your side and that, people who haven't been here for a while. It's such a special track that, you know, it takes you a ride, sometimes two, to sort of even get into the groove of it. And, you know, once the boys got in the groove of it, you know, obviously Zach's crash and injury apart, they were great. You know, young Sam was phenomenal at reserve. Richard was superb, and that last drive was special. But, you know, even young Max was running on the pits with his chin on the floor. I said, mate, if you hadn't got that point in Heat 2,
you're right.
You wouldn't have won it.
That's right.
And he was like, huh. And I went, no, huh?
Yeah.
You know, so, yeah, it's all positive for me. Yeah. All right. Positive.
I mean, we'd have had to have won that last day if it hadn't been for Max's point.
Absolutely.
You're absolutely right.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
Everything counts.
Yeah,
and,
it does. Yeah, it does.
And you know that better than anybody.
Yeah, and like I say, you know, like I said last night, I think the difference for me between this team is guaranteed scoring power against potential, but potential to be even better than that, if that makes sense. And,
yeah.
Yeah, you know, onwards and upwards. I'm you know, I'm happy. I'm a happy man.
I think we're all buzzing tonight. That was, to say, better than last night's win, I think, because we did all the hard work really at home in that.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. It was almost like, well, we don't really need to win. But, yeah, you know, when you start off with that attitude like that, although it might even be only small and subconscious, it can be there.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you know, great trip. Great Northern trip, really.
Can't wait to the next one.
Absolutely.
Gary Havelock there of the Poole Pirates. Poole getting off to a winning start in the Cab Direct Championship. Looking at a couple of other fixtures then from the weekend. Also on Saturday, as we heard already really from the man himself, but Jason Edwards scored his first maximum at senior level. A sensational display as Redcar defeated the Workings and Comets in the Cab Direct Knockout Cup. Edwards racking up his paid max from five rides as they defend their first leg advantage, winning 50-40 on the day in a 23 points aggregate victory, which secured a place in the semi-finals. Eric Riss, who was in as a guest for Danny King, completed a profitable weekend, 13 plus one for his former full-time club. Troy Batchelor top scoring for the Comets with eight as they exited the competition. Meanwhile, on the South Coast, well, it was a long trip for myself and the rest of the BSN team as the BSN series continued in the southern section, and the Plymouth Gladiators moved to the top of that southern section with a hard-fought 49-41 home win over Oxford. The Gladiators taking the match in aggregate points against the Cheetahs as their solid side came up trumps once again at the Coliseum. Kyle Newman scoring 14 plus one from six rides in a strong display. Ben Barker adding 10, Dan Thompson 9 plus 2. Ben Barker, by the way, breaking the track record as well. And the results secured by a 5-1 in Heat 14 from Carl Newman and Joe Thompson. Scott Nichols led the way for the Cheetahs with 13 plus 1. Sam Masters scoring 10 plus 1. But their hopes of topping the group now rest with salvaging what might be perhaps an unlikely aggregate point against Poole on Wednesday. Let's hear it from team manager of the Plymouth Gladiators, Gary May. I spoke to him after that clash down at Plymouth.
Gary May, you must be pleased with that. Your first home meeting in the BSN series, and you go from the bottom of the little group to the top of the group at this moment in time with claiming all 3 points tonight.
Yeah, you know, we was after 47 points, and all the boys worked well together. You know, they keep talking to each other all the time, and you know, they just want to do well. And you know, the side's built everyone to win races and everyone to score points, and it's starting to prove that we can do that. Once we get our number one here, and it might change a bit more, and hopefully that'll be good. But yeah, we've got I think two matches now against Poole, home and away, and you know, they're big rivals of ours, so let's see what we can do there. But I think the boys are up for it, you know what I mean, so it'd be good. And I think we've got about three matches, not next week, the week after, so you know, our boys will be dialed in even more.
It was a full team performance, everybody got points on the board. Of course, you're making up still for Nico Cavati as well, so everybody has to chip in, filling in for those rides. But your star man tonight, the top scorer, was Carl Newman.
Carl Newman, yeah, well, what can you say? You know, he gated and everything tonight, and he really rode his heart out, didn't he? And that Heat 14 to come off a gate four against Scotty Nichols and Sam Masters, you know, was brilliant again, which Dan Thompson did the week before, you know. And the Plymouth team is, you know, really good. We're just starting to get together. We've only had four matches now, so, you know, this team wants to go places.
Well, good job tonight, and look forward to seeing how you get on in the future meetings. Thanks a lot. Okay.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
He was very keen to say bye-bye, wasn't he, Gary May? But there he was after the Plymouth Gladiators secured victory over the Oxford Cheetahs. And this is how the BSN series now looks. It's broken into three groups. The Southern group headed by Plymouth, who have ridden two. They've got the 3 points. Poole have obviously got some fixtures in hand here, and a big win over Oxford. It was 61-29. So you would say that Poole looking good for the aggregate bonus there, but you never know in Speedway. But it would be a bit of a shock perhaps, but Oxford will give it their all, I'm sure. So Poole second place, but they've got meetings in hand. It is going to come down to those clashes between Poole and Plymouth, you would suggest, in the Southern group. The Northern group then, that's currently headed by Workington. 7 points, 3 meetings ridden. Scunthorpe second place, 3 meetings ridden and 5 points. Redcar, they've ridden all their meetings and they're bottom of the group. So it is down to that decider between Scunthorpe and Workington as to who will progress. There is also a place in the semi-finals for the best runner-up as well. So a strong finish by all the clubs is definitely required. The Scottish group, headed by Berwick, but they've ridden all their meetings. 4 meetings ridden, they've finished on 4 points. Edinburgh and Glasgow have still got to race each other home and away yet. So 2 fixtures in hand for them. They're both on 3. So you fancy that definitely one of those teams obviously is going to overtake Berwick. Which one will it be, though? They're both on the same points and same meetings ridden. Will it be Edinburgh or Glasgow? And as I say, there is a prize in the semi-finals and a place in the semi-finals for the best runner-up. As far as the Cab Direct Championship is concerned, we're getting some action there now in the league. And the Glasgow Tigers has kicked off their title defence with skipper Chris Harris storming to a 15-point maximum as the Tigers open their defence with a hard-fought win over Workington. The league newcomers fought back from conceding 5-1s in each of the first two races to set up a nervous finale by levelling the scores in Heat 11. But after the Tigers edged back ahead in the next race, Harris twice defeated Craig Cook in the closing stages as the home side took the match 47-43. The full house for Harris, backed up by Leon Flint with 9 and guest Jack Smith and another good night at Ashfield with 8+1. But we can hear from Leon Flint now, talking to Phil Lanning.
You're obviously riding really well for Birmingham as well. Good couple of really positive results this week as well. But you've obviously got a big SON2 this year at Bellevue as well. Obviously, you're suddenly now taking the mantle of the number one as well, which is quite a responsibility for you. Does this all elevate you, or do you find it a pressure, or do you sort of, are you learning to put it in boxes and deal with it at the time? Does that make sense?
I think more deal with it at the time. I think now, especially with Birmingham, I'm getting to the stage now where I'm ready to kind of move up into the main body of the team. I've seen Pete's article, doing the season review, Pete Adams, and he said I need to do less talking about it, more doing something about it. And honestly, it made me chuckle, but I couldn't agree more with him. I've said it for a number of years now, but now is the time if I'm going to do it, and if I'm ever going to do it, this is going to be the year, and has to be the year, the way I look at it.
But it's been very positive. I mean, you're always putting it down, but the fact is, this week, the results Birmingham have had this week have been really positive. You were instrumental in the win on Monday night against a very good side. It was a good result with Kingston, but you seem to have moved up a level. You're in Heat 15 here tonight. You're sort of carrying the side to a certain extent here as well, or you're doing your part anyway.
Yeah, I think I need to. Sometimes I do need to take a step back and think and not be too hard on myself, but that's just the kind of level I'm aiming to go for this year. I had a good chat with Bomber tonight about some things with the bikes and a few changes that I could do that have worked for me in the past that stupidly I've kind of not stayed with, but it's definitely all stuff that I'm looking to take into the future. And
I must ask as well, just finally, Edinburgh here next week, you know the area, you're not new to it, are you? That's obviously a big meeting for both sides.
I can't wait for it. It'd be good to see, hopefully, if we get Ashfield packed out, and I would love nothing more, especially even just the atmosphere tonight, getting that win against a really solid team, but especially to take the bragging rights next week, that'd be great.
Meanwhile, Scunthorpe picked up a first away win in the Cab Direct Championship on opening night with a 46-44 victory at Redcar on Friday. The Scorpions enjoyed success at the Echo Arena for the second time in 2024, despite a 13+2 paid maximum for Bears guest Eric Riss. After 9 races, the visitors had raced into a 10-point lead, and a fight back from the home side proved to be in vain, with Michael Palmtoft winning Heat 14, securing the away result. Palmtoft top scored for a solid Scorpion side with 10 points, and Connor Mountain getting 9+2, and he's been chatting about the fixture with Ryan Guest.
Well, Connor, just how good a result was that on Friday night at Redcar for the Scorpions?
Yeah, it was just what we needed. We had a little bit of a blip the weekend previous, so it was good to get the result there.
And Redcar, obviously, they've had a few early season struggles with injuries and whatnot, but nevertheless, it is always a tough place to go to.
Yeah, it's it. Fortunately for us, we have a group of guys that go pretty good there. Jake and Tofty have rode for him, and I always enjoy going there, so it was a good all-round performance, and good to get their win.
And for yourself as well, a good night individually?
Yeah, I was pleased. It was nice to get off Heat 1 win and get one over a tough race with Charles. He's real good around there, so I was pleased with that, and we carried that on through the night. Didn't quite carry on in Heat 15, but nevertheless, it was a pretty solid night.
Obviously, back at Scunthorpe this year, there seems to be a positive vibe around the place.
Yeah, we all get on real good, and pretty much the same team as last year. Obviously, Kyle coming in and Luke at reserve, but they've adapted to the team real good, and Carl's now starting to get going. We had a little break in home fixtures, but back there Friday, and looking to carry on where we left off.
You mentioned Carl Howarth there, obviously the new number one, big boots to fill with Ryan Douglas, obviously departing over the winter. I think Carl would be the first to admit his season hasn't got started yet, how he'd have liked, but with the team doing how they have been, with Carl not performing to his best, that really bodes well.
Yeah, I mean, Dougie was the best rider in the league last year, so anyone who took that role was had big boots to fill, like you say. But yeah, I think, like you say, Carl's had a bit of a tough start, but you know, he's starting to get going now, and yeah, the rest of us have sort of put our bit in, especially at home, and been able to carry him a little bit.
And one other change was obviously in the team manager's role as well, with David Howe coming in. He obviously said it would take him a few meetings to get used to a different position, but how are you finding him as team manager?
Yeah, Dave's good. Obviously, he's got a lot of experience being our side of the fence as well. So, and he was there last year with Ryan, so I think, you know, as much as he's in a new role, he was kind of part of the team last year as well. So, yeah, he's fitting in good, and yeah, I think everything's going pretty well.
Before we finish off then, let's have a look at the full fixture picture for the week ahead. And as we mentioned, it is probably Mission Impossible. I know that Peter Schrock was calling it Mission Possible last week when they took on Glasgow. I think in this one, the BSN series, Oxford being 29-61 down against Poole, it is going to be a tough one. That's a slightly later start time of 8 p.m. because they've got dog racing in the afternoon. So they're starting tapes up 8 o'clock at Cowley for that one in the BSN Southern Series. Thursday then, Rome Motor All Premiership. There was due to be a fixture between Kings Lynn and Leicester. That is now off, being restaged provisionally on the 1st of July. Got Knockout Cup action though. Quarterfinal second leg, Sheffield versus Bellevue at Ollerton. Friday, Cab Direct Championship, the Red Car Bears in action against the Berwick Bandits. And then the BSN Series, Glasgow versus Edinburgh. It's Scottish Derby there. That's that BSN Series, the first leg of that decider. Scunthorpe versus Workington. Big one in the northern section there. And then on Saturday, we've got the return leg of Berwick versus Redcar. And we've got Workington versus Glasgow in the Cab Direct Championship as well. We've also got the British Youth Championships taking place at Workington after the championship fixture with the 250cc's and the 125s. Sunday, we've got National Development League action between Leicester and Bellevue, getting underway at 3 o'clock. And then Monday, Row Motor Oil Premiership, a full programme with the Bellevue Aces versus the Oxford Spires, the Birmingham Brummies versus the Kings Lynn Stars, and Sheffield Tigers versus the Ipswich Witches. And that fixture will be live on Eurosport and Discovery Plus. Then next Tuesday, it's the Plymouth Gladiators versus the Workington Comets. A long old trip down for the Comets fans, but I'm sure plenty will make it. And if you can't make it, well, it will be live on BSN as well next Tuesday. And looking ahead to Wednesday, Oxford versus Redcar also on BSN, as will Ipswich versus Birmingham. But more about those next week. And we'll wrap things up there for this week on No Breaks, No Fear. Have a great week in Speedway. We'll be back with more next week. Don't forget to like and subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss any future episodes. And check out all the information officially as it happens on the British Speedway social media pages, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and at britishspeedway.co.uk. Have a great week. Hopefully, fingers crossed, the weather's looking good. Famous last words, but it is looking good. Have a great week in Speedway. We'll see you next week. Ta-ra.
No Breaks, No Fear. The official British Speedway podcast.
Sports Social Podcast Network.